Amen. If you could turn back with me in your Bibles to Genesis 6, please, for our message this morning. And I want to think about the character that is mentioned in this chapter of God's Word this morning, the character of Noah. Now, whenever we come to the Bible, we know that it is a treasure for each and every one of us to possess. For it not only contains within its pages the records of many individuals whom God has used to live for Him and to serve Him in the day in which He has placed them, but we see also in the Bible the differences between good and evil, between right and wrong, between the people of God and the children of the devil. Now, I'm sure you've heard it said, especially of this day and age in which we live, that it seems that the world has never been in such a wicked and evil place, that man hasn't seemed to have been as evil and as wicked as he is today. And I can understand why you would say that. I can understand why you would think that when we think of what has been passed in our land in recent days, in recent years, what is acceptable in society today, which was totally not spoken of a number of years ago. Such as the change in society which we have seen in a rapid declension and a rapid downward spiral into the ways of sin and wickedness. But whenever we come to the Bible, and even what we have read this morning in Genesis chapter 6, we see that in the days of Noah, the day in which Noah was living was a day in which there was much evil abounding. For God, it is recorded there of God that He said, or that He saw, in fact, that the wickedness of man, Genesis 6, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, notice this, was only evil continually. It was only evil continually. And that is why the theologian John Calvin was very right in coming up and saying that man is totally and utterly depraved. There's nothing which man can do to merit any spiritual good. He cannot earn favor with God. He cannot please God because he is totally and utterly bankrupt spiritually and morally in his sin. It's very interesting that we have noted that this morning. It's something which we must bear in mind. And even though we are living in a wicked and evil day today, it was no different than in Noah's day. Oh yes, Noah mightn't have had the people of Noah's day mightn't have had all the technology and all the things which we have in our society today, internet and smartphones and tablets and magazines and all of these things and television, but yet the heart was no different. The heart of man was equally as evil and as sinful and as depraved in Noah's day as it is today in which we live. And we've noted already this morning, in the first few verses of Genesis 6, the total wickedness which was raging upon the earth at that time. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 19, He says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." And there the Lord Jesus rightly said how it was in His day. And what proceeds out of the natural heart of man, that man or woman who is still in their sin and nature's darkness, who is born, as the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was the description of what the Lord said. And that is what was described of Noah's day as well, that the heart of man was only evil continually, continually. But I want us to think about Noah this morning. And while the first few verses of Genesis 6 are taken up with the evil condition of the world in Noah's day, yet when we come to read of Noah, we see a wonderful marked change in what the Bible is teaching us here in Genesis 6. Now, I want us to think about Noah this morning and draw some lessons from his life which we read of in this chapter. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to consider Noah's testimony. Noah's testimony. And if I was to give this message a title, it would be something along the lines of Noah, the man who found grace with God. And I want us to think in Noah's testimony this morning, the first of all, that he experienced God's grace. Noah experienced God's grace. Now, if you look with me to Genesis 6, verse number 8, and this is where we see the wonderful marked change in this chapter. The first 7 verses are dealing with the sin. But notice here, Moses, who under the inspiration of the Spirit of God wrote this, he says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And here we see that Noah was a man who was living differently than everyone else in his day. And we see here that it says that Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now that, those words there, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, they are simply a Hebrew phrase which speaks of that God was propitious, or God acted favorably. He was favorably inclined towards Noah. Now we see here that Noah was acceptable to God because of his upright and his holy living. He kept himself pure from the pollution that was around about him in this world. John Calvin, in his commentary, he asked the question. He said, "Whence, however, did he," that is Noah, "how did he attain this integrity? But from the preventing grace of God?" He went on to say that the beginning of this favor in Noah's life was God's gratuitous mercy. Now that simply means that what Noah received from God, he hadn't deserved. He hadn't merited it himself. But yet God freely bestowed it upon his servant Noah. And Noah had experienced this grace of God because of the mercy and the grace of God in his life. Now here was a man who was living in a wicked and evil day. Are we not living in wicked and evil days, brethren and sisters, this morning? But here was a man who was living contrary to how everyone else was living. Is that true of you and I this morning? Is that true of us, that we are living, are seeking by the grace of God to live a life which is totally different? A life which is living to glorify our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah was a man of God, there's no doubt about that. And we see here that because he was a man who found grace in the eyes of God, that was the reason why he was able to live a life that was different from everyone else around about him. You see, Noah, he was God's man before the hour. He was placed by God, raised up by God to be a witness, to be a man of God in his day and generation. And we always think of those words in Esther, how that Esther had come to the kingdom for such a time as this, so that the Jewish people would be spared when Haman sought to have the Jews destroyed. Yet it was Queen Esther that made that, who went into the presence of the king to petition for the people's lives. And how that Mordecai, her cousin, had said that she had come to the kingdom for such a time as that. Well, here Noah was placed. You and I, we have been placed in this day and generation in which we live. Why? To be godly men, to be godly women, to be that witness for light against the darkness which is raging in our world and in our province today. And we see here that God, he's seen the sin. Oh yes, how many today think that they can sin and God won't see? What utter folly. And here it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." This is how it's described. It was very great. Not in a good sense, but great as in it was so prevalent. All of society was totally living for themselves, living for sin and for whatever they could get out of this life. But Noah lived differently. And what a difference he lived, because he was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. And that's what, if we look there at verse number 9, and those last few words that Moses records of Noah. "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." Noah walked with God. This is something which we need to notice about this man's life. Now those words there, "just man," simply means that Noah was a man who was righteous in the sight of God. He was right in the sight of God because of his faith. Noah was justified by God. He was declared to be righteous in the sight of God. Why? Because of his faith in God. And it's the very same for us today. If you want to be saved, if you want to be right in the sight of God, you can only be right in the sight of God, not by your religion, not by your good works, but by faith alone in Christ alone. That was the great rallying cry that came out from the Reformation, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. You see, this is the wonderful thing about God's Word. It is unchanging. It's the same message of salvation for the Old Testament and the New Testament. And for us today, living in this age, it is all by looking to faith, by faith to Christ. That's how we are saved. But not only was Noah described as a just man, but he was described as a man who was perfect in his generations. Now, we're told that that word perfect, it simply means to be sound, to be upright, or to be complete. And it has the same force of being upright or sincere. So you could read it this way: Noah was upright. Noah was complete in his generations. And that marks a difference between how he was living and how the rest of society was living. You see, when we think of that word perfect, we think sinless, don't we? We automatically think that that word means sinlessly perfect. He did no wrong, of course not. He was a sinner saved by grace, just like you and I this morning, dear brother or sister. But he was a man who was upright. He was a man who was sound. How many sound people are there in this province today, I wonder? How many upright people are there in Northern Ireland today? Sadly, it seems to be very lacking. A trait which seems to be very lacking is that there's little integrity among people today. May that not be true of us this morning as believers. But may we be not just we have been justified as believers by our faith in Christ, and God has declared us to be righteous, but may we be those believers who are known for our integrity. May we be known for those who are honest and upright and complete. People who are upstanding, integral people in society for being people of God. You see, Noah was not just a man who was justified, a man who was a just man in the sight of God. He was a man who was perfect. He was upright in his generations, in his day in which God had placed him. And he walked according to the will of God. And he walked in truth and in righteousness. He was like Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and their walk pleased the Lord. That begs us to ask the question about ourselves. Does my walk please the Lord? Does your walk this morning, dear child of God, does it please the Lord? This is a good thing to ask ourselves. This is a good thing to search our hearts and ask the Lord if there's anything in our lives which are hindering or marring the blessing. Is there any sins which haven't been confessed? Well, let us get them under the blood and get them confessed before the Lord. But whenever I was thinking about Noah and how he was a man who experienced the grace of God, you know, it's true for every one of us here this morning, brethren and sisters. For you and I have experienced the grace of God and salvation. And yet, even though we were undeserving, even though we did not merit God's salvation, yet God purposed to save sinners like you and me. And he didn't just purpose to save us, but he purposed to save us to one day make us holy. And one day to bring us to be with him in heaven. And my mind was drawn to that perfect man, that God man who we have been singing about. Wonderful man of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. That man who was just, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And what did John say of him in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14? That he is full of grace and truth. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is full of grace and of truth. And whenever we think of Noah, yes, we can think of a man, but we think of Christ. The man who lived for us and died for us. The God-man who loved us and gave himself for us. So we thought about, first of all, how Noah experienced God's grace. But secondly, I want us to think about how Noah obeyed God's word. Noah obeyed God's word. If you look with me to verse 14 of Genesis 6, and the Lord told Noah, because of all the wickedness and evil that was going on around in the land, God was going to punish sin. And so God spoke to Noah and said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And then down through the next few verses, God tells him how he was to construct this ark. And then he told him what he was to do to bring the animals in and to bring the food in for their provision. But notice lastly with me there, the last verse of this chapter, verse 22. We're thinking about how Noah obeyed God's word. And it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." A very simple point for a second thought this morning, that Noah obeyed God's word. See, this follows on from him being a man who was justified, a man who was upright in his generations. He was a man who obeyed God's word. And so, brethren and sisters, this morning, it's natural for in this progression of thought that as those who have experienced the grace of God, we would be believers, whether young or old, whether seasoned saints or infants in Christ, that we would obey the word of God. Noah was a man who obeyed God's word. You don't read in this chapter of Noah saying to God, "No, I'm not going to build the ark." You don't read of Noah running away from the will of God like Jonah did. No. But Noah began to work, and he began to build. He began to make preparations for the judgment that was coming. And judgment is coming to this world. Oh yes, the Lord destroyed the world the first time by a flood, but we know that the rainbow, whenever we see it in the sky, it speaks of how God will never destroy the world by a flood, but the world is going to be destroyed by fire. And you know, it begs the question, why are these people trying to make legislation? Why are these people trying to get us to reduce our carbon output, all in a bid to save a planet which God is going to destroy? Such is the folly of fallen man, that they think that they are going to live forever, and that they think that they can reverse climate change, and that they are going to be able to deliver this planet from all of its problems regarding that climate change. And yet they are missing the most important thing, that there is eternity is coming for them, that death will someday take them. And where will they be in eternity? Either heaven or hell. And yet, as we think of Noah here this morning, Noah knew judgment was coming. God had told him that he was going to destroy the world because of his sin. And so Noah was to make preparation for that. How are we to prepare for the coming judgment of the Lord? If you're saved this morning, well, I trust that you are not just content that you're saved and that you're ready for heaven, that you're ready to meet the Lord, but that you will have that desire and that zeal and that burden, as Proverbs tells us, where there's no vision, the people perish. But that you and I, as believers this morning, we would make preparations by seeking to go out and to reach whoever we can, to tell whoever we can about Jesus, the mighty to save. And he's able and willing to save all who come unto God by him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so this morning, we can prepare for this coming judgment by, yes, telling men and women to repent and to believe the gospel. You know, that's how the Lord Jesus Christ started his earthly ministry. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15, tells us those very clear words that Jesus told the people to repent and to believe the gospel. And that's what we want to say this morning. That's what we want to say right until the Lord returns again. To tell men and women, no matter of their background, no matter what sin they've committed, to repent and to believe in Christ, and they will be saved. You see, Noah was to prepare for the coming judgment. And so you and I, we're not called to build a big boat this morning. We're not called to do what Noah did in that regard, but we're called to be a witness. We're called to serve Christ. We're called to reach those whom we can reach, those in our family circles, those in our workplaces, those whom we rub shoulders with day in and day out. We see Noah, he was obedient to the word of God. He was obedient to the will of God. We could say with Paul, he wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision, and he obeyed the word of God. And I pray that the Lord would enable us, brethren and sisters, this morning to be believers who are obedient to the word of God. And when we think of the obedience of Noah, we think of the obedience of Christ. As I said this morning, how he was obedient to the moral law of God, fulfilling all of it, every precept, and he suffered its penalty. The theologians describe that as his active obedience, his sinless life, and then his death as his passive obedience. And that speaks to us of how Christ was obedient, how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Bible tells us. But not only was he obedient unto death, but he died according to the will of the Father for our redemption, to purchase it for us, to purchase that perfect righteousness which we need as sinners. And yet he arose from the dead because of his perfect obedience, because the Father was satisfied with his perfect obedience in life and death. And so he can grant unto us eternal life and his imputed righteousness. Noah was a man who obeyed God's word. But lastly, I want us to think that Noah, he witnessed for God. Noah, he witnessed for God. If we look again at verse 22 there of Genesis 6. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I want us to turn to our New Testament, to 2 Peter chapter 2. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, we notice something very interesting about what Peter records for us regarding Noah as well. Now, we know that Noah was a godly father, a godly husband, a godly man in his day and generation. He was a man who built the most famous boat in the world. But Noah was something else. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, tells us what he was. Or even if we read for verse 4 there, 2 Peter chapter 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Notice there that Peter records for us that Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. In other words, those words, preacher of righteousness, means that he witnessed to the people of his day, telling them of the coming judgment of the world. He preached the righteousness of God. And I can just imagine him saying something like this: "Be ye turned from your evil ways and works, lest the waters of the flood come upon you and cut off all the seed of the children of men." You see, Noah was a witness not just in building the ark. You see, the world at that point had never knew the water that was going to come upon the world. The world wasn't even 1,000 years of age at that time. We're told that when Methuselah, that man who was the oldest man in the world, who lived till he was 969, that the flood would not come until he had passed away. So the earth was not even 1,000 years of age at this point. And yet Noah, what was not just a man who was building the ark, but he told the people. He told them to get right with God. He told them that their sins had separated between them and God. He told them that their sins was going to be punished because God is holy, God is perfect, God is sinless, and God demands perfection. And yet, what were the people doing? They were living in totally opposite to what God wanted them to be living. They were not seeking after God. Why? Because their hearts were hardened, their hearts were darkened. They were sinners, and sinners will not naturally seek after God, but yet it is imperative upon them to repent. And that is why we urge upon all who listen to repent and believe the gospel. Noah told the people to repent. He told them that God was righteous and that they were unrighteous and that they needed to be right with God if they ever wanted to escape the coming judgment. You see, God was good to the people. God told the people through his servant Noah, that they were to get right with him, that they were sinners and that their sin was going to bring them to a lost sinner's hell. Their sin was going to separate them eternally from their Creator, their God. And if there be any in our midst this morning or listening in, I urge upon you the same. I urge upon you, if you're not saved, to get saved this morning, to get right with God, not by seeking to try and to clean up your life or to try and make yourself a better person, for that will all fail, but simply come to Christ this morning. And as he says in his word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, not only do we think of Noah here of being a preacher of righteousness and a boat builder, but it asks, or causes me to ask the question, well, what am I doing for him? And what are you doing this morning for him, brother or sister? Young person, older person, what are we doing for the Lord in these days in which we have? You see, Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, a man who was obedient to the word of God, and here was a man who was witnessing for God. You don't have to be standing where I'm standing today to be a witness for God. You can pray. You can give out a gospel tract. You can perhaps go and take part in some outreach involved with this congregation, whether in the nursing home or the open air, whatever it may be. Or even telephone someone. Invite them to the service tonight. Ask them how they are. Seek to engage in conversation about spiritual matters. There's a multitude of ways in which you can be a witness for God, dear brother or sister. Whether welcoming people on the doors or on the technology or musical accompaniment, there's a multitude of ways you could serve the Lord and to be a witness for him. And you know, the Bible tells us that even a cup of cold water will not lose its reward. And if you could do something as simple as that in the name of the Lord and for the Lord's glory, the Lord will bless it if it's done for his glory and honor alone. Noah's testimony, well, that's what we've been thinking about this morning. A man who lived totally contrary to the ways of the world in which he was living at that time. A man who was living for God. A man who witnessed for God. A man who loved God. And a man whose walk pleased God. A man who was upright. A man who was a man of integrity. Noah's testimony. He's a man who experienced God's grace. He obeyed God's word. And he witnessed for God. I wonder, could that be said of my life? Could it be said of your life this morning, dear child of God? Oh, if it's not, I pray that the Lord would help us and give us the grace to live such a life like Noah this morning.